The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Greenland has been in the news because Trump wants to make it an American state. Denmark, who have it as a colony, don't want to lose it. So this general election of 57,000 people to elect 31 MPs to their national parliament was more interesting than normal. And what happened was the pro-independence Democrat Party has been the largest party. This could have ramifications both in Washington and Copenhagen. Joining us for more to explain the results and what it might mean for the future of Greenland is Ulrik Gad, who is of the Danish Institute for International Studies. Welcome to the programme, Ulrik. Could I ask you, first of all, were the results of something of a surprise?
Actually, it was doubly surprising in the sense that people were perhaps expecting one surprise that didn't come, and then we got another one. Of course, all the talk in this election has been whether a majority would emerge that would somehow embrace Donald Trump's invitations, and particularly one radical secessionist party were kind of casted in that role. They did gain votes, but far from anything that approached this a majority. But what did happen was that the mainstream center-left-wing parties that's been building up the Greenlandic autonomous welfare state over the last decades, they lost quite dramatically, both of them, and suddenly appears as the largest party, not the secessionists, but the more moderate, free market-oriented party to the right of the Social Democratic and left-wing majority parties so far. Those were the two opposition parties, but they're placed on each end of the political spectrum in Greenland. So it's actually quite it's not very likely that they will team up. They might be able to agree on dismantling some of this welfare state that to many Greenlanders appear as still very Danish. That would be what the Naleraq doesn't like about it. The right-wing Democrats, they dislike it because it's too bureaucratic and perhaps too socialist. But in all other issues than kind of trying to get the welfare state down in size, in all constructive areas, those two parties won't be able to cooperate. So the most likely outcome of this would actually be a moderate coalition of a right-wing and a left-wing party. The previous leader, the previous premier, Mutti Ede, who leads a red-green party, they would probably be the most likely coalition partner for the winners in the Democratic Party.
How will this be viewed in Copenhagen? The Danish authorities, I think, have been tough enough with the Greenlanders as a colony over the years. But when Trump's proposal came along, they've been love-bombing the Greenlanders. How will they view this result?
I think, and first of all, there is a relief, a great relief that the radical secessionist in Naleraq will not be in power. On the other hand, there is some curiosity to what it actually would mean with to have the Democrats in charge, because you know their leader, he has been a government minister, but he's quite young and not as experienced as the previous government, of course.
So I was speaking to one of my Trump friends. This was around the time of the election and since when the Greenland issue came up. And he said, in typical American style, this is very simple, Ivan. 60,000 Greenlanders, we'll give them $5 million each to put in their pocket, and we'll give them American passport. We don't want to dominate them, but what would they have against that? In other words, a minerals deal and to have access for security radar surveillance in the Arctic Circle. What do you think? In other words, Trump taking over Greenland isn't necessarily the issue. It's an alliance of some sort because his bark and his bite are two different things. Everything's a negotiation. How do you think this might evolve?
The thing is, the deal that your friend here lines up, it's really a bad deal for everyone. That's the weird thing, because what the U.S. wants in this account from Greenland, they already have, in the sense that the U.S. has since the Second World War agreed with Denmark and Greenland that the U.S. can use Greenlandic territory for defensive purposes. They have a huge radar aimed at Russia, and they could build more if they asked to do so. So, and second, the U.S. companies are most welcome to come apply for a mining license. The Greenlanders would be happy. So in that sense, what the U.S. wants in this account, they already have. On the other hand, what he's offering to Greenland, an American passport, that I think Americans believe that that's attractive. But if you're in Greenland looking at the welfare services, the kind of state you have in the U.S. and compares that with a Nordic welfare state, then an American passport is not really attractive. And second, I don't think, you know, Trump has been talking about making Greenlanders rich. They really don't buy it, because they hear how this, for the American audience, is not about any love of Greenlanders. It's just about getting the territory, the resources. And, you know, in pecuniary terms, it would be a pretty steep price for Trump to pay if he wants to match the subsidies coming from Denmark. And again, he already has what he's demanding.
Okay, that all makes good sense. So leave the whole US out of it. Is Greenland more independent after this election in terms of its relationship with the EU and Denmark than before the election?
The election as such formally doesn't change anything, but I think the election campaign, Trump's pressure, the debates in Denmark and between Denmark and Greenland even before the election campaign has together created a greater openness and awareness in Denmark, particularly in government circles, but perhaps also in broader popular circles, that we need to do something about the relation to Greenland. We need to look closer at colonial history, because we think we were great colonizers. The Greenlanders don't. We need to look at that. We need to take seriously the complaints about discrimination right now. And we also do need to look closely at our constitution, if there are more possibilities of some kind of reform that can make Greenlanders more content with the international standing that they want for themselves.
Well, Ulrich, I want to thank you sincerely for that very succinct overview of Greenland politics, the Greenland election, and the prospects for the new government and its international relations. Ulrich Gad, Danish Institute of International Studies, thank you for joining us on the show.
Perfect.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.